In the next module, we discuss management of premenopausal patients. For a newly diagnosed 40-year-old patient with de novo metastatic disease, all of the faculty would use ovarian suppression, an AI, and a CDKI, but in the survey, only 61% of the respondents would use a CDKI, mainly with an AI and ovarian suppression. 10% of the survey respondents would use tamoxifen alone. For a 40-year-old premenopausal patient who relapsed after 2 years of adjuvant tamoxifen, only 60% of the respondents would use a CDKI, but all six of the faculty would. For a patient with disease progression after 2 years of an adjuvant AI and an LHR agonist, more than 90% of respondents would use a CDKI, most with fulvestrant, but all of the faculty would use a CDKI and fulvestrant. Dr. Javeri reviewed the clinical data of CDKIs in premenopausal women, but began with an overview of primary endocrine strategies.
So let me start by saying, actually, that we all know that endocrine therapy is a very effective treatment strategy, and that we've come a very, very long way in targeting this pathway right from the very first time in 1896 when actually Sir George Beetson described regression of chest wall nodules in patients who underwent oophorectomy. And so when we think about endocrine therapy, our really goal for therapy for a patient is either to alter their estrogen synthesis and or its activity. And one can certainly achieve that by either decreasing the estrogen, such as with ovarian suppression in our premenopausal women, or with aromatase inhibitors in our postmenopausal women. Or we can do that with SERMs, which is serum estrogen receptor modulators, such as tamoxifen, which not only bind to the estrogen receptor, downregulate the estrogen receptor transcriptional activity, or with SERDs, and the only one that is approved currently in clinic, which is fulvestrant, an intramuscular injection, which binds to the estrogen receptor, downregulates the transcriptional activity, and then also degrades the estrogen receptor itself. And when we're thinking about a choice of therapy for any metastatic patient with ER-positive, HER2-negative disease, I think the very first thing that we think about is, do we think about chemotherapy? Should we think about endocrine therapy? And I think we've learned that for an endocrine receptor-positive, HER2-negative metastatic patient, the choice should be endocrine therapy. That would be the most effective strategy, unless the patient has a significant burden, which leads to symptomatic disease or what we call as visceral crisis, which is not just presence of visceral metastases seen radiologically, but alteration of laboratory values or symptoms of disease that the patient presents with. And then we also think about what kind of disease do they have. As we said, if it's a HER2-positive patient, we would think about chemotherapy up front. But otherwise, for a HER2-negative, ER-positive patient, unless we're worried about the degree of ER positivity, we are thinking about endocrine therapy. And with respect to choice of endocrine therapy in this patient population, that would depend on the menopausal status, whether a patient is pre- or post-menopausal. And certainly with prior endocrine therapy, that might be an influencing factor in terms of our choice or recommendation in the first-line setting. Are they endocrine therapy naive? Have they received any treatment in the adjuvant setting? And if so, what was the treatment they received and when did they relapse from that treatment?